For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, this is Steve Clark, and this morning I want to continue in the book of 1 Samuel. We've been going through that this last week, getting different jewels and gems out of this precious book. And what I'd like to do today is just review what we have seen here in the last five chapters, or what's happened here. And I want to give a real good perspective of where we're at as far as the time period. The time period of the book of Samuel is after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, after Moses and the 430 years in Egypt. It's after the Israelites coming out of Egypt, being delivered by Moses, and the 40 years then they spent in the wilderness because they refused to believe God and enter into the promised land. It's after the time of Joshua and the conquering of the promised land, and it's after the time of the judges, right after the time there. In fact, Samuel would be considered the last of the judges and the first of the prophets. And where we are at right now in the book of Samuel is before the first king of Israel. So I hope that gives you an understanding and a perspective of where we're at in the history of Israel. Well, the book of 1 Samuel starts off with Elkanah, who was a Jewish man from Ephraim, the region of Ephraim. And it says here that he was a Ephrathite, or however you would say it. And so that's where he was from. He had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah was barren, no children for years. Peninnah was having sons and daughters. Well, Hannah earnestly prayed to the Lord for a child and promised God that if he would give her a son, she would give him back to the Lord. Well, the Lord opened up her womb and she had a son and named him Samuel, which means God hears. Well, after weaning Samuel, her and her husband take him to Shiloh, to the temple, and give him to Eli, the priest. Well, Eli, he also had two other sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were wicked men. These were grown men who did not listen to their father or obey the Lord. God promised Eli that he was going to judge Eli's house because he did not restrain his sons. It was not only Eli's sons who were not obeying the Lord, but it seemed like it was a dark time for Israel, where many people were not following after God. Well, God did keep his promise, as he always does, and Eli's house was judged, and the nation of Israel was judged. 34,000 soldiers died in a battle with the Philistines, including Eli's two sons. The Ark of God was taken by the Philistines. When hearing the news, Eli fell over backwards, breaking his neck and dying. He was an old man, 90-some years old. His daughter-in-law, Phinehas, his wife, died giving birth to a son when she heard that the Ark of God was taken, and her husband and her father-in-law had also died. And she named this son, before she died, she named him Ichabod, which means the glory is departed. Well, yesterday we saw that when the Philistines reached their capital city, they put the Ark of God in the idol temple where the statue of Dagon, their god, abode. The next morning when the Philistines got up and went into the temple, they found Dagon had fallen over, and then they set him up again. The next morning, they find him also fallen over, but this time his head and his hands were cut off. Well, God also smote the men of that city with emrods, which were like hemorrhoids. And many of the men also died, it says. I don't know if it was just from that disease or if it was from other things, but many men died. It was like they thought that they would all die if that ark would continue to be there in that capital city. So the Philistines then took the Ark of God to another of their chief cities. And the same thing happened. And then to the third, they decided then that they needed to return the Ark of God to the Israelites. And the Ark of the Lord was with the Philistines for 7 months. And I kind of wonder what the Israelites were thinking about this. I'm sure they were planning and scheming some way that they could get the Ark of God back, but they couldn't. I mean, what could they do? They weren't any match to go in there and try to go into one of these capital cities and get it back. The Philistines, they were also thinking, what are we going to do? This thing's going to destroy us if it stays in our cities and in our country. We're going to all die. So we have to get rid of it. And so they end up thinking, well, they're going to have to return it. And I don't know if the Philistines even knew what was going on. I mean, sorry, the Israelites even knew what was going on there in those 7 months. But I'm sure they were worried about the Ark of God, and they were wanting it back. But God has a plan. Well, every day we've talked about things that we can learn from this story. And I wanted us to look back as a review today. God has a big plan. God answers prayer. God wants a holy, consecrated people. He wants His people to love and serve Him, to live for Him with all their hearts. No idols in their life, no self-seeking, no dishonesty, no hypocrisy. You know, we can't hide anything from God. Only God can save us. Our religion or our church or our works or anything else, they cannot save us. And God will let us go through hard and difficult times to bring us back to Him. God has a way of humbling a people, whether it's a Hebrew, a Jewish person, or a Philistine. He can do it. He knows how to do it, and He can do it, and He will do it. No idols will stand in God's presence. They will all fall before Him. Any idols that we set up in our lives, anything, we talked about idols yesterday, they all must come down. God is not, He will not, He's a jealous God. He will not take second place. He needs first place in our lives. He demands it. He wants it. It's for our own good, and it's for our own blessing. And that's why He wants it so badly. When we're in a forest, imagine yourself in a forest and trees all around everywhere and just a thick forest. We can only see just a few trees around us. But you know what? God sees the whole forest. God can take care of our enemies. We don't have to. We don't have to fight back. We don't have to worry about it or fret or scheme or anything like that. God can take care of our enemies. The glory of God does depart. Ichabod. The glory of God does depart. But He will come back when we repent. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sins, and then will I heal their land, God promises. So that's my encouragement for us today. God is in control. He is a good Lord and a good Savior. He loves us and has the best plan for our lives. He is a good daddy, and we can trust Him. We just need to cry out for Him. We just need to run to Him like a child runs to his daddy when he's hurting, or if he gets stuck in a place, he'll call out for his daddy, and his daddy will hear him and come and rescue him. That's the way God is. So I don't know what you are going through, but God can take care of all your problems. He loves you, and you can just put your trust in Him. Trust in Him and seek Him with all your heart. Well, God bless you today. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a blessed day. Let's pray before we end here today. Father, I do pray that You would bless each one that calls into this daily inspiration today, Lord. And every day, Father, I just pray that You would watch over them, work in their lives, show them how much You love them, and bless them, Father. Bless them for in ways that they wouldn't even imagine. And I'm not talking about material blessing necessarily, but maybe that's what they need. I don't know, but I just pray, God, that you would heal their bodies and forgive their sins and humble them and bring them to a place of delight in you, Lord. I pray that you would do that work in all of us, that you would have your way in our lives, Lord. I ask your blessing upon each one now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Lord willing, we'll meet again tomorrow.